must have fixed it.
Hey, how's the christening?
Or
Oh, it was a lot. It was great.
What was it, christening or christening?
Christening. In front of the whole campus. So everybody went out. It was at the church. I mean, they got about 35 kids in a room. So, so it was 300 people. You know.
Yeah.
But teachers and this and that and relatives. But it was fun. It was, and they had a mass and then they did it. And they, but seeing the smiles on everybody's faces. You know, and I was having to get out of school. Oh,
this is easy. I can.
So it was fun. Yesterday, this is just the whole weekend was just blasé. My daughter's birthday on Friday. We went out to. She's one that lives up near Evanston, so we went out to dinner with them at El Vincenato, 24th and Western, 26th and Western. It's an Italian place in a little section.
24th and Western?
Yeah. I'm
trying to picture an earring.
And then I went out to show my daughter's boyfriend something in the car, and he asked, is there a good time that he can approach me to ask me to marry
really?
You? And I go, you don't have to do that. Just take her. It's so that's good. They're very.
We're doing.
I mean, if you pick them out early, you match them.
Yeah.
He's in 399.
Oh yeah. Right.
So he got letters from the union telling him, "Come on down to Orland and participate against people over politics."
Oh really?
So, he's at Triton County.
1 minute.
He's getting ready.
1 minute. What?
At 1 minute until he's ready.
Let him know when he's.
Well, I was just saying, we're at the 1 minute. That's
what. Have we heard from Dan?
I don't know if Amory has.
Amory's got like 4 things.
Sarah, have you heard from Dan?
Breathe. Yeah. Okay, this is 3 minutes to spare on my phone. See, look here. 5:57 on my phone. Just so.
I got 6:01 on mine.
Well, but the difference, I'm still winning.
Maybe different.
My phone is bad.
I got 6:01.
What do you got?
6:01?
6:01. So everyone but you.
Wow.
The Italian thing.
No comment.
One day.
I'm good. Go ahead. You can start.
Trustee Calandrello.
Here.
Trustee Ely.
Here.
Trustee Malani.
Here.
Technology, Innovation, and Performance Improvement Committee. Approval of minutes.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Calandrello.
I move to approve the minutes of regular meeting of Technology, Innovation, and Performance Improvement Committee of September 16, 2019.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Development Services Planning and Engineering Committee, approval of September 16, 2019, Development Services Planning and Engineering Committee minutes.
Mr. Chairman, do I hear a motion?
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Milani? I move to approve the minutes of the regular meeting of the Development Services Planning and Engineering Committee of September 16th, 2019.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Horton Center AIG Amendment 2019-06765.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item before the committee today is in regards to a change that was placed on an appearance improvement grant that began in 2014. The property owner of the Horton Center at approximately 144th and John Humphrey Drive was granted approval in 2014 based on an appearance review for funds to complete a facade renovation. In 2016, they reevaluated that renovation based on some cost overruns as well as some unanticipated construction that they had, and were reapproved for the funding from the village as well as the appearance review. In 2019, those improvements were inspected by the village, and generally the upgrades included a metal seam roof, a cornice, metal cornice and trim, and then masonry columns and EIFS parapets. The issue today is after the inspection, they had completed the refacing of the main entrance columns with masonry materials, but had not done that to the secondary and wing columns that exist at the center. This was included as a condition in the appearance review as well as the appearance improvement grant agreement that they had with the village. When this was brought up to the owner, he requested that the funds be released without the addition of the masonry to the secondary columns, and he had mentioned that he believes it will cause a tripping hazard and also that the funds could be used elsewhere in the center if they were not required to put on the secondary masonry columns. According to the information he submitted to the village, he spent over $200,000 on the facade enhancements that have taken place, and he is requesting $60,000 from the village based on the previously approved agreement, $20,000 per each building. This item is now before the committee to recommend whether or not the village enforce the condition of the secondary columns or they allow the funds to be released as presented.
Okay, I'd just like to add that this to my fellow board members that this $60,000 grant was by far the largest grant of this type in the for the redevelopment area out there, and but given that the place does look improved, and I think it's these strip centers, we have to keep them up to par. I just went before the Economic Development Advisory Board, and they voted to push it.
Yeah, it was for discussion only. There wasn't a formal vote, but generally the consensus was to allow the
I think the general consensus was to allow it. I'm for allowing it, just to some point it's enough is enough. But he's done a good job, I believe, in the owner, in changing the characteristics of the presentation. So any other comments?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Milani?
So taking a look at the pictures, and so really what we're looking at, you know, for instance, by Gaston's, the two columns that are just round, is that what we're looking? That
would correct. Like, yeah, there's other examples throughout the center, but those two pictures basically summarize the differences.
Okay.
The main entrance under the barbershop there, it shows what was done at the main entrances, and then those other by Gustone's, and there's a few other examples where they weren't covered with the masonry or replaced with masonry.
And that strip center does look much better than it did, you know, before the changes too. And I do see how that would be kind of cluttered there at the corner, you know, if we did add the additional pillars there. So I mean, I don't know if it's a tripping hazard, but definitely it could be a little tight squeeze to get through there. And I believe that's where the handicap parking is too. So
okay,
a little more cluttered. So I could see that.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Calandrello?
I move, first of all, I agree with all of your comments. You did a good job. And with that, I move to recommend to the Village Board of Trustees to remove the conditions from the appearance review 2016-0576, maintain an appropriate scale for the secondary columns on the canopy, and authorize staff to release funds based on the approved
AIG agreement for the Horton Center.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Finance Committee, parking fare terminals.
Go ahead, Amy, tee it up.
Okay, so this is the parking terminals that we have at the various commuter parking lots in town, 143rd, 153rd, and 179th, that the commuters use to pay their $1.50 a day to park. They have the option of paying through the terminals. They can put cash in, or they can use a Visa, MasterCard, or debit card, or they can pay via the Passport app that we also have. So this is the maintenance that we pay on the terminals per month per terminal at each of the stations. This allows them to maintain the terminals. They go out and they change the paper and they do all the calculations in this in the machine. I can't talk very well tonight. And then it's also the web office that we use that our CSOs use for enforcement and our cashiers use to do the daily balancing of the funds that we send over to the bank.
Is there any questions from the board?
I have no questions.
No questions.
From the audience? With that, looking for a motion?
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Malani.
I move to recommend to the Village Board to approve the annual service and maintenance fee for the parking fare terminals provided by Total Parking Solutions, Inc. for a period of 3 years, 2020 to 2022, and authorize the Village Manager to execute the final negotiated maintenance and web office contracts.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
FY 2020 liability property insurance renewal.
Kramer.
Okay, so this is the renewal that we bring forward on an annual basis for all of our property and liability insurance lines. The Horton Group helps us through this on an annual basis. We did an RFP last year to again retain the services of Horton for a few years. Once again, this year is fairly flat. We do have a slight increase overall of about $8,500, which is well below, I believe, what the industry standard is out there this year. This is all of our lines, liability for auto, property for auto, other property, workers' comp, and all of our excess lines that we have. Dave Bresnahan and Mike Leeson are here from the Horton Group, and they can give you kind of a better overview of what the renewal process, what we went through as part of the renewal process. I don't know if that's on.
Hello, trustees. My name is Mike Gleason. I'm a senior VP at the Horton Group. I've had the honor of representing the Village of Orland Park. We're going into our 17th year together, and we really appreciate that. As Anne Marie was discussing, yes, these are the property and casualty lines. We started a little earlier this year to kind of hedge this market off. It's actually worsening by the day and the week. I think by the time you get to year end, the pricing's not going to look anything like this. But by starting early and getting firm commitments, we'll be able to lock it in, no matter, you know, if we have adverse loss history from here. And that's not to expect any. You know, we were just chatting earlier. We represent 75 plus municipalities on the property casualty side and over 100 on the employee benefit side. But I can tell you in the from the property casualty standpoint, you're in our top 10. I mean, from a loss history standpoint, doing very well and consistently. You know, a lot of credit goes to, you know, all the people that work in the village, of course, starting with human resources. Finance, public works, I mean, just outstanding safety practices and programs, and each year you add to them, and history gets better and better. You know, when I say that the market is worsening, right now the increases out there are about 5 to 10%, and when Anne Marie asked me to get some budgetable figures for her about a month or so ago, that's what we were saying also. The $8,500 is 1% of your total cost under the property casualty. So, you know, you performed much better than the market. And I really, you know, have to give you all the credit on it because of that loss history. And Now, you know, we have high deductible program, which is appropriate for the village. It's at $100,000 each auto liability. Property's at $50,000. And, you know, knocking on wood, you're nowhere near it. But the thing is because of that deductible, it's been keeping the premiums down for years and years. I guess 3 years ago, Anne Marie and ourselves looked into a three-year program with the Chubb Group, which is recognized, you know, as probably the finest property insurer out there. And if we could keep, bless you, if we could keep the loss ratio under 40%, they were taking off 5 to 7.5%. And so for the third year, we're in the third year, but now we got that 5% again. So that it keeps driving down your costs there. And that property market, you'll hear from others, is up anywhere from 15 to 30%. I mean, the property market's not in good shape. But once again, when we signed up for that three-year program, I don't know, maybe we had some foresight that eventually it would go the other way, and it's worked out well. The other lines, any business, municipality that have large fleets, and you certainly qualify for that, that's the real sore spot that you'll read in the paper all the time, is the auto premiums. And then once those go up, the umbrellas over the top of them go up. And, you know, all that came in, you know, better than our expectations. So I'll quit patting ourselves on the back, but it's a real team effort for all of us. And, you know, we do a couple of in-person claim reviews each year where we bring in your third-party administrator. CCMSI does a really nice job. And, you know, just constantly keep an eye on the loss history, and if we start to see some adverse trending in our safety division, we got 8 engineers over there, can help out with some different areas of exposure. So, you know, if you have any questions, we've added cyber liability. You know, we Dave and I have seen 3 large ransomware incidences in the last, couple of weeks, Dave, something like that. And so a lot of activity there, but we set that program up for you a few years back. Hopefully never have to use it, but it's doing some damage out there. So anyhow, you got a good policy there. So overall, I think we're in good shape with the program going into next year, and we'll stay on top of it for you.
Thank you. Any questions from the board?
Mike, what's the experience rating for the company?
As far as your experience modification?
For workman's compensation.
Yeah. You know, because you're self-insured, the experience mod usually doesn't come into play in that formula, but you were about an 86 a year ago, 1.00 being average. But whenever you're on a high deductible program, it's not the premium multiplier. But the question does come up, and so I would say it's about an 86 right now.
And I don't know what the term of it. I can't remember. Is it wrap up insurance where you insure for your subs?
Yeah,
but we're not at that scale.
No. We have a full construction division, and they do a lot of wrap ups there for major projects, developments, and such. But otherwise, we don't see that on your side.
That's not something the village would should initiate, or
no. Your regular liability should cover any other subcontractors or contractors that come onto your premise. You do a good job in a certificate of insurance collection. And any of them that you need reviewed can certainly be sent our way. We also do some contract review. We got an in-house attorney that assists with that. So,
okay. And ransomware, we're insured for $1 million.
That is correct.
And then the umbrella would kick in.
No, that would be under a separate limit. I just wanted to. Dave is my cyber expert,
sure.
But. I just wanted to verify that was a $1 million limit.
I think it is.
Okay. Yeah, and there's a number of different areas under that mm-hmm. that Obviously, it's got security and privacy liability. It's got multimedia, intellectual property. You've got network interruption and recovery for $1 million, event support services, privacy, regulatory defense and penalties, network extortion, electronic theft and computer fraud, which, you know, has to do with wire transfers and some of the others, social engineering, phishing, and such. All of those have $1 million limit.
Mr. Chairman, I have a question on that.
Sure.
So depending on the type of incident you have, you could actually need to dip into multiple of these then, correct? So if you had a ransomware type of activity that also caused network interruption, which also...
Yeah, overlapped into one of the other areas.
Overlap.
That's correct. Yep.
Okay.
You got $1 million under each.
Because as more of these get more complex, I think we need to be aware that, you know, we have the right coverage in place then.
Yep. Yeah, the forms keep improving in this area. You know, the cyber liability really didn't come around until maybe 5-7 years or so ago, where it was starting to get people's attention and that. And they've improved the form every year. And pricing's been pretty stable with it, too. It actually came down at a certain time because they're starting to get lost histories. And, you know, business is really protecting themselves with a lot of backup systems and such. But, yeah, they're very sophisticated. I mean, they're criminals.
Any other questions?
Yeah, one other question for you.
Sure.
As I'm looking at the cost summary page 5, you know, I see all the different carriers. Do you evaluate the carriers on a yearly basis to make sure we're getting the lowest, you know, well, the highest quality but the lowest cost?
We do.
Okay.
We some of the programs, like I said, if we set it up on a 3-year basis, then we would not market them midterm unless they gave us reason to do so. But otherwise, we generally like to go to a couple of markets each year.
Okay.
As Anne-Marie referenced, we did a 3-year RFP, made some changes at that particular time. And this year is really the second year of that, and I think we're in good shape.
Great. Thank you.
Any more questions from the board? From the audience, looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Healy.
I move to recommend to the Village Board to approve the property and liability insurance carriers and premiums, as well as CCMSI's claims handling fee and Horton's annual service fee in a total of $795,149 as presented by the Horton Group.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Courier service contract.
So this is the contract that we have for taking the funds to the bank from the Sportsplex and the Village Hall, as well as the pool in the summertime and Orland Park Health and Fitness Club. We have it transferred 3 times a week. The amounts aren't substantial anymore, with most people paying electronically, but it's still required that we have this this service. So this would be a 3-year contract that we'd be entering into.
Any questions from the board?
Nope.
From the audience, looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Malai.
I move to recommend to the Village Board to approve Brinks Armored for a 3-year contract subject to a successful negotiation of contract terms.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Budget adjustments.
Okay, so this last item, as you know, we periodically bring forward quarterly budget adjustments. Most of them are usually cleanup in nature or transferring from one fund to another, as opposed to increasing the overall budget. So here on this listing, we have a transfer of some funds from the general fund to the recreation fund for projects that were budgeted in one fund, and then we were going to be managing them and ended up paying for them out of another fund. And then we also have, based upon the results of our OPEB actuarial report, the annual required contribution, we're contributing 50% of that to our OPEB fund, transferring it from our insurance fund to set those funds aside into the OPEB trust that we established a year ago. One of the other items on here is the additional payments that we're going to make to retirees into their HRA program as part of the ERI that the village has offered.
Trustee Healy?
No questions.
Oh, I thought. Any questions?
I guess the one question, I mean, everything else seems to offset except that $50,000, so.
Yeah, so we had budgeted a specific amount of payments. What we do is we transfer the funds to the OPEB fund when the person's retiring, and then we make payments to their actual HRA on a monthly basis. We had additional retirees over and above what we had budgeted for.
Okay.
So this is for the additional amount that we're going to be transferring.
Okay, thank you.
Any other additional questions from the board? From the audience, looking for a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Trustee Healy.
I move to recommend that the Village Board to approve increasing the fiscal year 2019 revenue budget by $554,402 and increasing the fiscal year 2019 expenditure budget by $605,004.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Looking for a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye. Second.
Aye.
All
second,
in favor.
Aye.
Okay, all in favor.
Aye.
All right, sounds good. See you at 7.
I thought so moved, but time for the aye. I don't know.
So,
it would be second, and then
it would
be 1, 2, whatever. We adjourn.
No, thanks,
Jack,
but thank you.
So move second.